We'll call the December 4th, 2012 County Council meeting to order. Mr. Lawson, approval of the agenda.
Yes, good morning, Mr. President. Thank you. Today, we can only amend under executive session job applicants' qualifications, leaving personnel pending potential litigation and land acquisition.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Got it.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Wilson. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. You had a copy of the minutes of November 27th. Any questions, corrections, or additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
There is no correspondence, Mr. President.
Anyone in council have any correspondence?
I had an email question as to whether the discussion about the funding of the dog control would be an open meeting. Would it be a public meeting? But I believe that it's
going to be public because it's going to be discussed today,
exactly.
But it's not a public hearing.
Exactly. But my response was yes, it's public. Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Lawson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. First item of business on the agenda today is the annual report presentation from SEDAC, Sussex Economic Development Action Committee. We're joined by members of SEDAC. Chairman Rob Ryder will present the annual report, and I have passed down the annual report that was provided by the committee. Mr. Ryder, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mr. President and fellow council men and women. I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you and give you an update on SEDAC, the Sussex Economic Development Action Committee. You do have our annual report. Similar to last year, we have had a very exciting year this year, and although we're slowly gaining momentum, but I wanted to highlight just a few things that we've been involved in and then transition towards the end of the presentation into a request. But we've been engaged in a number of initiatives this year, including a statewide broadband initiative where we have been meeting with Jim Sills, Secretary of Department of Technology and Information, raising the awareness for improved services in Sussex County for broadband.
Great.
We've accomplished at least making Verizon aware that they have not comprehensively covered the county. And that they have promised to work on more 4G power sites. But one of the interesting things is we've made them aware that in Sussex County, they need not look at people, but look at devices. Every poultry house, every combine, every tractor, every contractor's pickup, every, in today's age, all of these, every irrigation system has the opportunity to communicate with broadband. And technology is a very important part of our progress, not only for agriculture, but to encourage businesses to locate here. If we don't have these services, we're not going to get the best businesses here. We've also participated in the Georgetown Blueprint Communities as they lay out a strategic vision for sustainable community growth in Georgetown. We've been participating in the Governor's Executive Order 36, looking for opportunities there and to improve the regulatory climate. And an interesting one is we've spent a lot of time on a program called the Delmarva Technology Transfer Initiative, which is a partnership of four community colleges, Del Tech, Warwick, Chesapeake, and Virginia Community College, towards educating entrepreneurs to find technology that's available, that's already been developed, either by the government or universities, and to commercialize that. And there's a pilot program underway, and it could eventually be a curriculum that entrepreneurs could participate in. We feel like this is a tremendous initiative towards developing business opportunities in the county. But most importantly, and the most exciting news for us is that we are utilizing our USDA Rural Business Enterprise Grant, RBEG as we call it, to hire several part-time positions. And one position we have just recently filled will be a program manager. And this individual is going to help us on a part-time basis, grow our what we call our flagship event, which is the Sussex County Open for Business. And the statistics for the Sussex County Open for Business are in the report. And while it doesn't seem huge, we had 8 sessions, 10 companies participating, and 28 individuals participating. Think about the difference that just one can make if it turns into a business that hires 1 or 2 people, 4 or 5 people, 10 or 15 people. We'd like to grow this event to, and what we're doing is pulling together all the resources for entrepreneurs or people interested in starting a business, and maybe cut the perceived red tape of trying to go from agency to agency to figure out what they need to do to get started. So we plan on growing this event with a staff person in place to help us. And additionally, we will look for other networking events that can move us towards our mission of developing, recommending, and communicating strategies for creating sustainable economic prosperity in Sussex County. What we're working towards is refining our model towards one of sustainability so that we can continue to carry out this mission for years to come. So far, we've been working with grant opportunities, but we are trying to figure out how our model can exist for funding going forward. And we're excited to work with Mr. Lawson and Julie Wheatley to help shape the framework for economic development in Sussex County. With that being said, I'd like to put forward a recommendation or a suggestion that we have this year, which is to request an extension of Ordinance 2208. And you have in your packages a letter from the utilities that are interested in this. And I'm not going to get into too much detail, but I would like, with your permission, to allow Joe Conaway to make a few comments.
Well, do we have to?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You heard me.
For the record, I'm Joe Conaway. I'm a board member with CDAC. And Rob, you should never ask the county council whether they want to hear from me. I mean, they could say no very easily. And because I do have a tendency ever to ramble, I've written what I'm going to say so that I can not steal a lot of your valuable time. I'm here again. In 2010, I did appear requesting for CDAC an extension of the permits for conditional use, subdivision, and RPCs that were about to expire in the middle of what I continue to call a Great Depression. Today, conditions have changed somewhat since 2010, but the economic conditions in Sussex still lag behind. Since your approval in 2011 of the extension, literally thousands of approved lots have disappeared. I know this is not in your jurisdiction, but as an example, in Bridgeville alone, 3,400 lots are no longer available for development. The land has reverted to farmland and is being farmed under the present ordinances in the town. But that's gone through the whole county. Contracts have been lost and terminated. Land approved for development has gone back into farm production. Commercial projects have been canceled. Literally thousands of dollars have been lost as a result of that. In fact, the major bank in Delaware went out of business as, I think, a direct result of the development problems. Land and home values have been reduced. Thus, money of your tax assessments have also reflected a change in use. Financing continues to be a problem, even with the best of projects. But through it all, a number of projects saved by your actions, have continued to move forward, delayed by the costly and time-consuming state permit process. And Rob alluded to what we're trying to do there. I can just give you an example of a client I had who's been 18 months trying to get a highway permit when he had two commercial permits to start with. A number of projects have worked on to try to reach the ordinance deadline of January 1st, 2013. Many have some of the permits, but not all of the permits. And they can't then ask for final approval and recordation till they do that. And some of them can't, will lose their ability to construct as a result of the five-year window there. I know of at least eight projects that have requested or will request extensions to their existing, to the existing moratorium so that they can continue to work forward. But the extensions can only be granted at this table. You're the only people who have the power to do that. The Planning and Zoning Commission does not. I'm going to give you an example of one project, just one project, that has done all that's been asked of them to do. And at 10:30 this morning, you'll get an opportunity to finalize the last permit they need. That's Bayless Estates, who is trying to be annexed into the county sewer system, thus avoiding another private sewage treatment plant and going with a system that works and works well. But that permit will not be issued until annexation is allowed, if in fact you vote that way. And then at that point, we'll be able to file for final approval. We've been given some indication that because we would have filed before December 31st, we may be grandfathered. But that's the kind of issue that that's out there, that people have been doing everything they can do to get here, but just are not going to be able to make this deadline. Your actions in 2011 saved literally hundreds of jobs in Sussex. If you grant our request, CEDAC's request, to again grant a year, at least a year increase, two would be better, you will continue to provide the opportunity for people to work in Sussex County. We basically are asking for a blanket extension of the 2011 ordinance for at least 1 year. We also understand that there are concerns that have been raised about those projects that have done nothing over the period of time, the grace period you did give them. And certainly some kind of conditioning that would require them to show that they did, in fact, work at it, and that this process is a long process. We would understand that that may be the necessity of 2013. And we see that as a reasonable requirement. It does, however, have some downsides. That means somebody has to decide what a reasonable movement is, what is a substantial opportunity or a substantial effort to go forward. But we understand the concern that people who have done nothing since you granted it in the past would be sitting back doing nothing again. We believe those projects are already dead, or owned by the farmer again, or by the bank. The economy has begun to turn. Your actions by granting this extension can keep that momentum moving forward. Now, we know that, that your existing ordinance has to be amended or a new one drawn, Mr. Moore, so we're not here today looking for immediate action, but we request that the council move forward, and that if an ordinance is drafted, that it be retroactive to January 1st, 2013, extended, or again, we'd like to see two, but whatever you all believe is necessary, at least a year, we can go forward and save these projects, because they do bring employment to this county and will continue to move things forward. Mr. Vincent remembers a comment from a retailer who I didn't think had anything to do with this back when we did the original one, where he said, you know, I may say sell a sofa that I wouldn't have sold before because a new house has been. That's a whole area that's out there that could be affected by your efforts. You helped your people in the past. We ask again that you help them in the future. And I'll be delighted to answer any questions, but I'm done.
Well, have you, I know you've studied this deeply. How many lots are we talking about with the blanket? Have you calculated that?
No, I haven't, Mrs. Deaver, and I have talked with Lawrence. I don't want to put him on the spot.
Okay.
I'm not sure any of us know how many are gone. And
but
I
how
used,
many would we be extending?
I don't know. And in my conversation with Lawrence, again, it probably is going to involve him going through what he already has, a list of projects, and sending letters saying, look, it can be extended, but you need to demonstrate something if, in fact, that's what you end up doing. I don't have a number
you
for
don't
that.
Have
Lawrence is the expert, and I certainly don't want to put words in his mouth. So.
Well, I think he did a study on this before.
Yes, that's what I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the numbers on the study?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions of Mr. Conaway? Thank you, sir.
And Merry Christmas, Joel.
Merry Christmas.
Same
Merry
to you,
Christmas.
Sir. Mr. Lawson.
I guess.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Before we move on in the agenda, would now be an appropriate time to ask our county attorney to draft such an extension request and have it put on the agenda for next week?
Something could be drafted and put on the agenda for introduction, which would start the process with the public hearings.
All right.
And the title would give the opportunity to make it either 1 year or 2 years?
It can be done that
still
way,
still work
yes.
within that?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure, that's fine, yeah.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Morphy would take care of that, sir.
Yes, thank
Mr. Lawson,
you.
You put it on the agenda for next week.
We'll do so, thank you.
Thank you.
And certainly would like to thank the CDAC committee. It's a unique organization which brings together many stakeholders in our Sussex County environment, and I see a number of the busy men and women here today. We're very blessed to have folks who will commit their time to helping our economy. So thank you all very much.
Lawson.
Okay, thank you. Next item of business, we have a vacancy on the Sussex County Library Advisory Board. And after a search committee by the Library Board, they are prepared to recommend and Mr. Cole has agreed to the appointment of Rosemary Hardiman, and her term will be for 3 years, and I have a motion.
Please read it, sir.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the appointment of Ms. Rosemary Hardiman to the Sussex County Library Advisory Board, effective today until such time as her term expires on June 30, 2015.
I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver, Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. next item is our administrator's report. Number one, the Sussex County Council would like to thank the community for participating in the 29th annual Caroling on the Circle last night. We had a very successful night with hundreds of carolers and thus far have collected over 26,000 canned goods and non-perishable food items for our less fortunate neighbors. We'd like to remind everyone that we are collecting items until the end of the year and will continue to distribute these goods to our local food pantries. We would like to thank all of our volunteers, local businesses, and schools for helping to collect the food over the last month and making this year's Caroling on the Circle a huge success. Item two, Sussex County offices will close for a two-hour period on Friday, December 7th, to allow employees to attend the annual Mildred King Luncheon. County offices will close from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday. Members of the public with business to conduct are asked to plan accordingly. County offices will reopen promptly at 1 p.m. And last, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, the reserve at North Bethany, formerly Watermark, a.k.a. Blue Water, Phase 2 sanitary sewer reached substantial completion effective November 28, 2012. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Webb, annual pension review.
Thank you. It's time for our annual pension review, and also when we make our annual pension contributions, our budgeted contributions to our pension fund. We had a pension meeting November 7th, and I'm pleased to say this year was very successful with a pension committee and meeting four times and reporting back to council and making changes to keep up with pension and the way that the stock market is, I'm very pleased with how that worked out and looking forward to keeping on in the future and addressing pension on a more timely basis. In your packet was the draft of the minutes from the pension committee and the investments performance reports. Today, Mr. Michael Schoen from Pierce Park Group, our pension investment consultants, will be speaking on the investment performance reports as they apply to our pension fund and our OPEB fund. And then I will have recommendations from the pension committee for your consideration. Good morning,
morning,
Mr. Schoen.
Morning.
Morning. Thank you.
Sure, you'll be happy to know that I'm going to be recycling some of the fees we received. We became homeowners in Lewis this past
oh,
Friday.
Oh, there you go.
Congratulations.
There you go.
That's
there you
the go. Best district.
Mrs. Deer would be your county council representative.
I suspected that from the comment.
Thank you.
I don't know if we will have, we may have to hire somebody else to do this job now.
Yeah. I got to get an outsider then, huh?
No, you get down with that bunch of liberals, you already know where you send us.
I'll make sure to tell them you said that, Sam.
My wife is doing the best she can to help stimulate the economy down there.
There you
I can assure you of that.
We appreciate it.
Yes. And actually, while I heard those comments, I was texting my brother. You may know my brother owns Schoen Lumber. I just wanted to check to see what he's seeing as activity down here. I can tell you statewide, he's actually having a very good year.
Yes.
So the economy is coming around, but it's a slow process. You know, everybody needs to remember that we came out of the worst economic and financial downturn since the Depression. So I'll say, unfortunately, it takes time. And those who had the greatest uptick during the strong part of the economy last decade, which in Sussex County was, tended to be the ones that took a little more of a beating on the downside. So hopefully, as I say, with my wife and her friends, they will do a bang-up job to stimulate the economy down here.
Tell her to buy locally for her.
Well, she is, but yes.
To make a comment on what you just said about the economy turning around,
mm-hmm.
I'm in business a little bit myself.
Right.
And I never felt my economy never turned around until I began to pay off some of my debt. How's this economy going to turn around? We're still going deeper and deeper in debt every day. I don't understand. Sound like a false economy here to me. That's my comment.
Who's that comment for?
Well, the comment was made where our economy's turning around. I don't really believe it.
Yeah.
Not till we start turning our debt. When we start turning our debt, then I can honestly say our economy has turned.
Yeah.
In my own business, I cannot say that my economy has ever turned as long as I'm still going deeper in debt. And this country is going deeper in debt every day. Look at those meters running off millions of dollars a day. Debt. We're not getting out of debt. Our economy's never really turned. If we really want to be honest with ourselves, that's my opinion.
Hmm. Not a fair opinion?
Well, the county.
You could
counties.
See me trying to duck that one, couldn't you? I will say that anytime a company, a household, a country, during economic downturns, you do tend to have to spend more than you bring in. But you have to have a long-term plan to pay off that debt. And the concern is that there is not a long-term plan to pay off that debt.
I don't see none.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of posturing going on in D.C., but we're all dependent upon what happens there. So. And that's why part of what we're going to talk about is there are some good signs and there's some bad signs. And so, you know, that's why we always suggest, and especially now, is to take sort of a steady hand at this. Don't go too far to either extremes because, you know, things could they are better off than we were a couple of years ago, at least in certain segments and in certain, you know, but until we get this big gorilla off our back of the debt, you know, there's always going to be the concern of long term and what does that do to our country and the world. I think Susie said 15 minutes. Is that what you want or less, or you tell me? Okay. You'll see in the report here, this is a third quarter report. Mm-hmm. You'll also see our quarterly newsletter. In the very back, you'll actually see my mother's shoe fly cake recipe. So
there you go. Yeah. There you are.
Yeah, there you go. So, who, as it turns out, borrowed that from one of her friends. So, So speaking of the markets and finances, if you go to tab one, you know, we've had this, the markets have been gyrating. The first quarter, stock markets did very well. Second quarter, stock markets were down. Third quarter, they were back up. Fourth quarter, in October, they were down. And then November, they've been back up a little bit. I'll say I've been around long enough to not make prognosis as to what next year will hold. But longer term, and this is why I think you've done what you've done, is that stocks do give higher returns than bonds, but they're much more volatile. And that's why you have a balanced portfolio. And as I've observed before, that you tend to be more conservative than the average plan out there. And that has served you well, especially last decade. That doesn't mean you didn't get hurt by the downturns, but you were less hurt because of the conservative manner of how you invested your portfolio. Couple other points is that we do have this looming debt out there. You know, there's the fiscal cliff, as they talk about, at the end of the year. You know, will something be worked out? What happens into the markets? You know, as we get closer to the end of December, if it doesn't have to be a full long-term plan, but at least some idea that something's going to come about, then the markets will stay level. But if we get close to the end of the year and you couple that with a concern of people about higher taxes and therefore selling their stocks to realize capital gains rates at today's rates versus higher rates, you know, that could drive the market down for the next month or so. On the other hand, a day or two from now, some resolution could occur, or there might be some perception of a resolution occurring. So again, that's why I caution not to go to one extreme or the other. Okay. Unemployment rates came down a little bit toward September. They went back up a little bit in October. They are lower than they were several years ago, but they're still very high on historic terms. Okay. Corporations, one of the last things they do, business owners, is to hire back, okay? Because you really want to know that you've got long-term sustained growth before you hire back. So what happens at first is people will have had their hours cut back. So at first, then you'll give them their hours back that they lost. And then the next thing to do is you give them overtime until the point in time you can't give them any more overtime, and that's when you hire somebody longer term, okay? And so that's why it's going to take several more years, you know, to keep driving down the unemployment rate. Big thing that happened in third quarter was what's known as QE3, okay? It's quantitative easing 3. We had 1, we had 2. The intent of those was to lower long-term interest rates. And the purpose of lowering long-term interest rates is because if you're a business and you want to borrow, you don't really care so much what prime rate is, okay, because that vacillates. But if you want to build a plant, you know, buy long, you know, a big commitment for equipment, you want good long-term sustained low interest rates, okay? Or if you're buying a house, as I said, we just bought in that liberal district over in Lewis. It's all relative, you have to realize, you know.
I wouldn't take that too seriously.
Nice.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, I was just repeating. In any case, you want to have long-term fixed rates. So for the first two, quantitative easing 1 and 2 was designed to lower long-term rates across the board. Very specifically, this time, QE3 was geared to lower long-term mortgage rates with the intent that if that can help stimulate new home construction, that'll stimulate new jobs. New jobs will put more money in people's pockets. They'll spend more money, and then you get this compounding effect of that. Okay, and that has, at least the intent of driving down interest rates, has worked. You know, 2.75, 15%, 15-year fixed rates. That has moved things along. Housing prices, at least nationwide, have gone up some. Housing starts have started to go up some. Now, when QE3 stops, will it go back to where it was, or has this been enough stimulus to continue it on? We'll see. But sure.
The QEs are all about printing more money, for lack of a better word.
Yes.
How is that different than post-World War I Germany?
Well,
there goes your 15 minutes.
You're going to be here longer than 15 minutes.
Yeah, I can see that. It's actually a very good question. It's a very good question. It's not the same level, but that same concern of will we have, actually, when you get to one of my points is, are we going to have higher inflation? And if so, how much? And when's that going to occur? And then what do you do about that higher inflation?
Well, some would argue we already do have higher inflation, but the way they calculate it masks the real inflation. I mean, someone told me they had to pay $1.80 for a pepper in the store the other day. Mm-hmm. And obviously other things have gone up in price, but
come on.
Am I wrong about this? Are we really heading for massive inflation as long as we keep printing money without anything to back it?
If we keep printing money the way we are, yes. Okay, now how high is massive and what do they do? Keep in mind, in the 1970s, we had very high inflation, not like post-World War on Germany, but then what did they had to do? They had to squeeze with much higher interest rates, threw us into a deep recession at that point in time in 81 and 82. So can the Fed and the federal government sort of ease our way to stimulating the economy enough, but not too much? And time will tell, you know. But part of what you want to do with your portfolio, and part of what I've mentioned in here, is do you have some investments in there that do better when inflation does better? Okay? Higher. Such as, and some of these things you've already done, maybe not for that intent, but shorter-term fixed income, meaning bonds with, you know, 1, 3, 5-year maturities, do better than long-term bonds. When interest rates go up, okay, the longer the term of the maturity, the more adversely affected it is by rising interest rates. Because of your conservative nature, you've already sort of baked that into your goods, okay? Are there other things that you should be looking at? And that's some of the things we're going to talk about next year about, you know, can you help mitigate the impact of that? Because if inflation goes up, two things occur. Eventually, wages go up. You know, if you know, inflation's 8, 9, 10%, 12% like we saw in the late 70s, salaries aren't going to go up 1 or 2%. They're going to go up more than that. And if salaries go up, then the benefit goes up because it's tied to their compensation. COLAs are tied to that. And then, I say, bond rates are inversely tied to that. The longer interest rates go, inflation goes up, interest rates will go up. If interest rates go up, bond values go down. So that's part of over the next couple of years, we've got to work that through your system and at least lower the impact of that. Okay. The other hand, if inflation goes up, then housing prices go up, real estate goes up, maybe you generate more revenue from that. Okay. Going on to the next, cognizant of your time, if you flip to the next tab. So it's tab 2. For the quarter, and this is the pension fund first, your portfolio gained over $2 million for the quarter, up 3.9%. And year to date, gain of $3.5 million, a gain of 9.4%. Okay. Your fund has consistently outperformed its benchmark in down markets and underperformed in up markets. And you might expect that. You're more conservative, okay, so when the market's really roaring, you'll be positive, maybe not as positive as others. But when it's been down, you haven't been down as much as others. And I think that's very consistent with, you know, your approach to things.
So the percentage rate we've done well, you're saying, and the income has gone up over what you expected. You mentioned a percentage of 9% there. What was that about?
Okay, so far... Through the end of September, your fund was up 9.4%.
That's really good, though.
Yes, that is good.
That's very good.
Now, the goal you need to reach each year is 8%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's one of the things we want to talk about is that goal too high of a goal to shoot for in today's world? Our feeling is yes, okay? And we've had some discussions about, you know, should you lower your longer-term return assumptions, okay?
How is that relatively speaking to maybe other clients that you have or
okay.
If you can put it in perspective?
Sure. We have a total of 11 counties as clients. 10 of those counties use 7, actually 9 of those counties use 7.5% as a return assumption.
No, I meant our actual return.
Your actual return.
Where do we fit in with the actual?
You'd be a little lower than our average, but it's because you're more conservative than the average, and when the market's up strongly like it has been. So our average over that same time period was more like around 10.25. Okay. So not only is your allocation to stock, most of our clients are at 65% stocks, you're at 60% stocks. Okay. So when stocks outperform bonds, everything else being equal, you'll be a little bit behind. When stocks underperform bonds, you'll be a little bit ahead. Then the combination of the managers you've chosen, you've picked more conservative managers. So then even relative to that 60%, your portfolio is behaving more like something that's about 57, 58% in stocks because you have more conservative managers, meaning ones that do better in the down markets. And I'll show that to you on one of the pages here in a moment. In the pension fund, roughly 65% of your assets are in the state pool. Okay, the rest of it you have elsewhere because the state pool will tend to be a little bit more aggressive in the up markets, a little bit more, but hit a little harder in the down markets. Not always, but a little bit more aggressive than where you want it to be. Their long-term returns for the state pool have been very good. Okay, this particular past quarter and the 1 year have not been as good. I think it's just it's just like any football team, whatever. You have good quarters, you have bad quarters. You have good games, you have bad games. Overall, they've had a lot of good games. This past year just hasn't been as good as some of the others have been for them. Wilmington Trust had very good returns for you this year. Okay, so they're your bond manager. They manage part of your bond portfolio. And so they've made some very good decisions. They've managed a very conservative bond portfolio for you. On a scale of 1 to 10, if 10's very aggressive and 1's very conservative, I like to see my clients at about a 3.5, and you guys are about a 2, 2.5. So you're even more conservative for a conservative person like myself. But that has served you well.
Return was good then, is what you're saying.
Pardon me?
Well, you're saying the return was good then.
Yeah. Wilmington Trust had a very good returns. I'll show you that to you in a minute. And you have $1.3 million that you need to decide today. There's going to be a recommendation as to where to invest at because your contributions will be in excess of your benefit payments next year by the tune of $1.3 million. So you'll want to invest that. The rest of it, you'll want to sit having CDs and money markets to pay for benefit payments. Because what you don't want to do is take all that money, plop it into the market right now, and then during the course of the year, you have to take money out and maybe have to sell it at the wrong time. So it's just like a business, matching up your cash flows. You see on page 9, I mentioned there, and we've mentioned already, are your actuarial assumed rate of returns too high? Noting both your conservative nature and the asset mix that you have. So if even traditionally at 60% stocks, is 8% assumed return too high of a return to expect to get? And then compounding that with the low interest rate environments, when the actuaries figure out, when they set a return assumption, whether it's 7.5 or 8, they look at the real long-term return expectations. Stocks, usually 10, 10.25%. Bonds, 5, 5.25%. You blend the two of those together, you get to about 7.5 or 8%. But what are bonds paying right now? Well, 5 and 10-year treasuries are paying 1.5%, okay? Corporates, 2.5 to 3. If you go out and buy a 5 or 10-year CD that's paying 1.5%, what kind of return are you going to get for that time period? 1.5%. So what can you really expect to get on your bonds for the next 5 to 10 years? Even if interest rates don't go up, you're probably going to get 1.5 to 2%. Well, if stocks are doing 10 to 10.25, bonds are doing this, you don't get to 8. So as I told the investment committee, the pension committee, was that you either have to drive down the road faster, meaning go more into stocks and more aggressive in your stocks, or decide you're going to leave a little earlier to get to where you need to get to, meaning change your assumptions. And I will tell you, a number of our clients, even the ones with 7.5% assumptions, some of them are talking about dropping them to 7 to 7.25. Okay, and I think I'd be very prudent. Okay, page 10, I'll hit on one or two more things, and then we'll take questions and get to the resolution. If you look at page 10, it summarizes the whole pension fund. Okay. I'll point you to a couple things here. In the upper left-hand corner, it shows you a summary of cash flows. It gives you the beginning market values, your withdrawals, and your withdrawals or actual cash withdrawals plus the investment management fees you may pay to managers that you don't physically write a check to. It's embedded in the investment. Then you get your net investment change, your ending market value. Okay. Below that, you see how your plan did relative to its benchmark. Its benchmark is 60% stocks, and more specifically, it's 48% U.S. stocks, meaning the Russell 3000 index, 12% IFA, which are international stocks, and 40% bonds. So if you just took that money and you went into index funds and you always stayed exactly 48, 12, 40, what's that benchmark? So think of that the hurdle does. And how did your fund do relative to that? Okay. If you're above the line, that means in that quarter you did better than your benchmark. And if you're below that, it means you did worse. What you see is that all the red ones, all the red rectangles, which are when the stock markets were down, you were above the benchmark. You know, 1/4, 2%, another one about 1 3/4, another one over 1%. So very consistently in the down markets, outperforming your benchmarks. Most, but not all of the quarters, when in the black rectangles, when the stock market was up, you were below that. Okay? That's consistent with what we've been saying. So, but that's sort of the proofing statement of it. The other thing I'll show you on this page is on the upper right-hand side, you see the rectangle, you see the blue square, that's Sussex County. The way to read this is if you were to the left of the line, that means how you did in down markets. So if you go straight down, that number looks to be about 72. That means if the stock market was down 10, you were on average down 7.2%. Okay. Going top to bottom, you go across, that's about, I'm going to say maybe 85 to 90. That means in the up markets, you did about 85 to 90% of the market. So if the market was up 10, you did about 8.5 to 9%. So you did, even though you didn't do as much in the up market as the markets, you did much, I don't know if it's good English, but much better in the down markets by doing only 72% of the down market versus, you know, close to 90% in the up market. So that's a good combination. Okay. And your return rankings, you can see for the quarter, go to the page below, you'll see your return, and then what you see in parentheses is your ranking among a universe of all the other public funds, you know, all the other government funds, and there was 161 of them last quarter. You ranked in the 76th percentile. Okay, one would be the highest, 99th would be the lowest. So below average returns relative to other public funds last quarter, but you would expect that. Again, when the markets are up very strongly, you know, you're going to be up. You're up 3.9%, but not up as much as the average. Okay, and then you can see longer term returns. You go out 3 years, you're right about average, which I consider that actually very good in a very strong up market if you've got average returns, okay, because you're most likely in the down years to outperform. In 2008, you did. So that was the year when the markets were down strongly. There's additional information. I think this was all emailed out to everybody. Mm-hmm. So while I stop on the pension for a second and just see, take any questions anybody may have.
The total funding of the pension is what percent now? We will be at what percent?
Well, at the two points I wanted to make, the actuary has been tasked with looking at that reduction of the assumption, and the pension committee will address it in the first meeting of next year, as well as we're coming up on the end of an actuary year, so it's very timely. The actuary does an annual analysis. The last funding percentage was 93%, but to say that's what it is now is really not very accurate, because that's what it was at 1/1/12. That's how close we are to the next funding, the next actuary analysis. So that, stay tuned for that.
Where would you expect it to be?
I think it's going to tweak a little bit higher because we made the extra contribution, and we make our budgeted annual required contributions by the actuaries, and we've had years of positive returns. Although last year I believe was 4%. The 9% coming in on this year to date is a lot stronger. And although I think the asset smoothing method that they use may be the last year, but the 9% is higher than the smoothing that they had. They took the loss of the big loss of the 25% over the next 4 years when we had a 4% return, there it took the smoothing was took it all. Now that we're up at 9%, so I'm hoping that to tick up a couple percent. If we got that.
Yeah. So you think it'll be 95%?
You think it'd be funded?
I'm hoping it's going to go up a couple of percentage.
And other counties, are they? What is their requirement? Your other
I will tell you that
I would say we're probably
I'm going to tell you across the board, and I don't say this because I'm here in front of you. Sussex County has done a fabulous job of taking care of your responsibilities.
Important to know.
It's not just looking at just your pension liability; it's also your OPEB liability, and I'd have to say you're one of the highest funded, if not in the country, in taking care of that. We have, in Pennsylvania, there's 20 of the 67 counties have that liability. And probably the best funded OPEB plan out there is, which is one of our clients, is maybe about 15% right now. And you're well
known. That was like 77%.
About 77%. We've done a study for that. We were commissioned for all the counties in Pennsylvania to look at their funded level. I'm going to say the average was about 85%. Now, if you change your actuarial assumption from 8 to 7.5, that will lower your funded level because you're assuming less investment return in the future. But that won't drop it. It'll drop it, but it won't drop it that much. So overall, you know, my opinion is I look at the totality of things that you've done a great, I mean, not just a good, but a great job of taking care of these responsibilities. And although it might be counterintuitive, a lot of people think, well, why aren't we 100% funded? Let me address that. Two reasons. One is coming out of 2008, almost nobody was 100% funded out of that. When the stock market goes down 40% and returns are down negative 25 and you're expecting 8, that's 33% difference you got to make up. Okay, that takes a while to do that. Secondly, keep in mind, those assets need to be there when the person retires. So just like a home, if you had a home and you said, look, I've got a $200,000 home and I got a $40,000 mortgage on it, that's not too bad. Well, that's 80% funded, okay? So you don't necessarily want to be right on that 100% anyway. To be where you are is a very, some will say 70%, and some will say 80%, but any number above that is considered a well-funded plan.
Eddie Park, we're glad to hear that.
Go on to tab 3. Do you want to do resolutions for that now, or do you want to do
I'll
it all
do them
one
all
time?
One time. Okay. That's how I have them written in.
Okay.
We'll just do the OPEB real
so
quick.
And I could, we've hit on most on the OPEB part, but you know that your portfolio is managed. You know, you still have that same 60% target for equities, still 12% international stock target, still same fixed income guidelines. But you have a different mix of funds in that, okay? That fund gained $185,000 during the quarter, and year-to-date was $1.7 million. The investment performance is much improved. If you recall, you took certain steps this last year to make some changes. That has improved much. That's due to the manager changes and lowering your allocation to the small cap area. Sure.
Maybe remind the audience what OPEB stands for.
Sure. OPEB means other post-employment benefits. Basically, that means health insurance for retirees.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. looking ahead, and this will be part of the resolutions, is we thought there needed to be some more mid-cap stocks in there. Think of it. There's large companies, small companies, but there's also mid-sized companies. We call them the Goldilocks. Not too big, not too small. They're small enough that they still have room to grow. You know, how much bigger can an Exxon get? How much bigger can Apple get? They can continue to grow, but not the rates that they did many years ago. But they're also better prepared to withstand a downturn in the economy. Small companies, downturn in the economy, may not be around. A mid-sized company may become a small-sized company, but they'll still be around. So the mid-cap stocks actually have been the best performers over the last 10, 20, and 30 years. So we like to make sure our clients have a decent representation of mid-sized companies in there. And we thought you needed more than there. You were a little short of where we were liking to bid. So one of our recommendations was to add some exposure in there.
And our OPEB return last year was negative.
Yes.
Some of the companies that we had previously selected were not working out for us in the mix that we already had.
Right.
So this is very positive, and we've been watching, the pension committee's been watching it all year, you know, to make sure that we made the right choices then.
Yep.
And we're pleased with them.
Same issues, actuarial assumed rate of returns. Is inflation in the future, as you see the bottom there? And one other thing I just, and we'll save this for some other point in time, but you should be aware, if you're not, that the accounting industry has come out with GASB 67 and 68. And they will be effective as of, and you're in a calendar year, right? Not fiscal.
Fiscal, June 30.
The pension plan is also? Or is the pension plan calendar and the county's on fiscal?
It's the pension plan. The actuary is on a calendar year, but the pension plan is what goes with the county on a fiscal year basis.
Okay. So effective for really any fiscal year after June 15th, 2013. So effectively that means for June 30th, 2014,
right.
Your pension plan has to be reported a lot different than it used to be. And then 2015, at the county level, it's got to be reported. Your liability is going to be calculated differently. It's going to be reported on the financial statements. That's a long, another discussion that I won't bore you with today. I'll bore you some other time. But know that's a very important issue to you,
mm-hmm.
and it will change. It will also change the amount of work the actuaries are going to need to do. It'll change the amount of work the auditors are going to do. And may eventually change a little bit, not about how you want to structure your portfolio. I'm just planting the seeds now so that you know over the next couple of years this is something to expect.
Who do we have to thank for that change?
The GASB board does this every 10, 15, 20 years. GASB when they board. Came back out with 45.
Oh, I didn't know.
It's disclosures in your financial statement. They're always trying to improve the reader's interpretation of the financial statement. So by tables and charts that have to be in the footnotes, and especially unfunded liabilities, which we don't have because we're well-funded. So,
and Moody's has also come out with a different way to calculate liabilities also, which is different than the accounting industry. And fair or not, it's the world you're going to live with. So just be aware of that. So. Okay. So any questions about the OPEB fund?
I do have some motions for recommendations that the pension committee would like county council to consider. Both of them for the OPEB and the pension fund is our annual contribution, which is budgeted and we plan on making. And then in the OPEB fund, we'd like to get into that mid-cap index as Pierce Park Group has recommended. It's just changing some allocation around. And then in the pension fund, it's investing the additional $1.3 million that we had been putting in short-term investments to put back into the market. And my motions will describe that.
Please read your motion,
ma'am. Thank you. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the 2013 budgeted contribution for the pension fund of $2,106,808 and invest in short-term cash for the OPEB fund.
You need that motion now?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on a motion? I'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes. Good job, Mrs. Webb.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, Mrs. Webb.
And for the OPEB fund, reallocate $1,500,000 to the Vanguard Mid-Cap Index Fund from the following: $500,000 from Ridgeworth and $1,000,000 from the Vanguard Russell 100 Index Fund.
Entertain that motion.
I'll make a motion. Sounds good to me.
Mrs. Deaver.
Mm-hmm. Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. And now for the pension fund, two motions. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the 2013 budgeted contribution of $3,198,312 into the pension fund.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And the last motion, in the pension fund, be it moved, Sussex County Council invests additional cash of $1,300,000 as follows: $120,000 into the DuPont Capital, $30,000 into Fidelity Low Price Stock Fund, and $1,150,000 Wilmington Trust Bond Fund.
Okay.
Entertained a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Question on a motion.
Where exactly will that money come from?
That's the excess cash that had been where the difference between the contribution and the benefits payments needed that we've been sitting in the money market all year that we're going to go ahead and invest and then use the contribution coming in so we don't have to pull from the pension.
Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you for your patience.
Thank you, and thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
We thoroughly enjoyed it.